the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the NRF1 podcast here in Norwich as we look back at the Canadian Grand Prix and in the same podcast ahead to events forthcoming in Austria in just a few days' time. I can't quite remember the days, but it's a few of them and they're coming. So that's good. My name is Michael Bailey. I'll be the host for the next 40 minutes or so, depending on how punctual we are and disciplined, with a bumper podcast crew. We've got four of you guys ready to spit your opinions down the microphone of truth. I am sounding more like Alan Partridge with each passing podcast. Everyone, never mind. Anyway, Kyle Cumbers is here. Hello, Kyle. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. I'm not bad at all. Are you well?
I'm very well. Yep, lovely day.
It is a beautiful day here in Norfolk. Stephen Rust here. Hello, Stephen.
Hello. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
We'll get on to the predictions later, but I think you did quite well on your return.
I didn't think that they did go very well because I had a vague memory of what I said and I know half was probably wrong.
Alas, the bar is probably lower than when you were last doing it, Steve. So we'll get on to those later on in the podcast. Richard Baxter's here. Good evening, Richard.
Good evening.
Looking well.
Thank you. I'm quite happy we got a pay rise today. So that's made my day.
Good man. Hard earned, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Hope my employers are listening.
Another one soon, please. Josh Raymond is back. Josh, good to see you.
Good evening.
Now, you've had fun in the carts since you were last on the pod?
I have. I was at Donington this weekend, which was really good fun. Donington is amazing.
Yeah. But a bit dangerous on the tyres.
The flat wasn't ideal.
Nothing wrong with the puncture here or there, as I'm sure we'll get onto later. Right then, Canada. It wasn't your usual Montreal circuit adventure, really, was it? Quiet, serene, just as Lewis Hamilton would have wanted it after Monaco, Kyle.
Well, it's his fault, isn't it? It makes the racing look a bit too easy. I mean, the gap between him and Rosberg never was that big, but you always kind of felt that Hamilton had him in his pocket. If it was the other way around, Hamilton normally tries. Yeah. It's a bit more racing sometimes when Hamilton's behind, especially if you look back on last year. Very similar races, Mercedes well ahead, but with Hamilton's bad qualifying, they've normally created a good race. But this year he's got his qualifying sorted and he leads from the front. So
he nailed it. We've got added stats this week, so we are so well prepared. It's Hamilton's fourth win of the season, fourth in Canada, 37th of his career. He started pole for the sixth time in seven races. And it was a 1-2 for Mercedes for the fourth time this season. So there we go. Happy days, eh, Steve?
Can't argue with that. But no, I mean, it was an average race. You know, I think we lacked a safety car or two in some cases for years gone by. I think it related into lots of fuel saving later on, which, you know, did make it a bit of an anticlimax towards the end. But no, I mean, just what Lewis needed, really, you know, just a pretty quiet sort of, you know, normal day at the office after what happened in the previous race, really. So we can't complain in that sense.
And it was all a bit sheepish from Nico Rosberg, I thought. What did you make of it, Josh?
I don't know. It's really strange. I mean, obviously, considering Mercedes, that was where the first chinks in the armour appeared last year with the brake problems. It was, they just seemed to have it all in hand and there's just very little to it.
Yep, there was, and they dominated, really. The interesting thing, having said last week, or in the last podcast, Rich, that Lewis Hamilton, when was the last time he crashed? He actually crashed this time in practice, didn't he?
He did, yeah. How much you can really blame him for, I don't know, considering it was about 3 metres deep in water. That's a bit of an exaggeration, though. But it was a lot of water and intermediate tyres that just kind of thought, I don't like this rain, and just decided not to work, it seems. But he crashed nonetheless. That's another stat. So
yeah, added to the pile, and it didn't really affect anything because they put the car together pretty damn quickly. Anyone else think it was a bit frosty in the green room afterwards? Just a bit awkward?
Yeah, it was a bit sort of, there weren't a lot being said, and it was a bit sort of like as if there was a little bit of an atmosphere, but it was a bit accepted maybe, and that was that. It was just a bit, or whether it was just down to an uneventful race really, and people were just like, well, that's what we expected, and that's about that really. I don't know, but it was a bit sort of quiet, wasn't it?
I can't remember who the Mercedes chap that went up to collect the constructors thing was, but he didn't seem too happy at all. He was sort of, Hamilton went and sort of well done sort of thing and pleased about the win, and he seemed to be moaning about this and that, and it seemed a bit strange really for 1-2. But
there was another really awkward moment on the podium where, as they brought the constructors trophy out, of course that was the same size as Hamilton's basically, and they walked past Rosberg, and Rosberg kind of put a hand out thinking it was his, then remembering, oh no, I've got my team up here, and he kind of then just backed away and just kind of turned it into a clap or something. I think it was a bit awkward, but yeah, maybe he thought he should have had the winning one as well.
Classic Nico at the moment. It's all a little bit awkward, isn't it? I presume we're all impressed about how Lewis Hamilton handled what happened in Monaco, given how he did this weekend.
I think it was a mature response, really, wasn't it? It's the only way you can respond to such a situation. It's got to be very difficult to lose a win like that, especially at Monaco, where they don't exactly come on trees.
No. And they will live with him for a while, that. And that's probably going to be, come on, this is going to be Lewis's championship, isn't it? Anyone want to disagree with that?
Well, a glimmer of hope, I would say, to people who want a really tight season. If you remember last year, okay, we had double points, but Hamilton was quite a way behind Rosberg at one point, and that was going into about the last seven races or so, I think, because he had the failure. Obviously, he had a spin in Austria, which put him down the grid, so he lost some points going into the race. And then there was Germany, of course, where he started further back. So things can still happen to turn it around, but as a Hamilton fan, I'm hoping, to be honest, this is.
Well, we'll tuck into the tips later on as well, won't we, Kyle? Before we do that, let's have some of these. That's right, it's the NRF1 pit stops. Yay, brilliant. Let's start at Ferrari, shall we? Sebastian Vettel. His qualifying went a bit tits up, so to speak. What happened?
It was an MGUH problem, didn't he?
That was it, exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
I was thinking, which of course he wasn't quick in the first place, and then he got his grid penalty for overtaking on the red flag.
I watched the video of that. It seemed very peculiar. I don't really understand why he overtook on the red flag. I mean, it was clearly a red. Did he offer any response for that?
He's just having a funny few moments, isn't he? But was that a failure of the kinetic system or something with the car? Is that why he struggled in qualifying as well?
Yeah, that was actually where he qualified. Was it like 17? Yeah. Was he 17th or something, I think, actually? Like that, yeah. Before he got his penalty, I can't remember.
Massa had a similar issue, didn't he? So I think he was 16th and then Vettel 17th or something like that. So
Vettel actually made up 13 places from his grid position, but finished off the podium for only the second time in 2015, apparently. So there we go. In a way, he had a pretty good race making up 13 places. Although, should he in a Ferrari? Which, of course, they added a lot of updates to and probably should have been a lot quicker than it was.
Yeah, they promised a lot beforehand, but I didn't. Yeah, seems to go a bit backwards compared to Mercedes. And on Vettel to finish only 4 seconds behind Kimi is quite impressive, really, even with Kimi's spin.
But I would say Kimi was relatively up before the spin. Well, I say relatively up, but it wasn't exactly like Ferrari weren't going to be on the podium before that sort of strange aberration.
Yeah, that's true. Well, now I've got a few points here to rattle through. Sebastian Vettel, his little clash with Nico Hülkenberg, who was the closest to coming into contact with the World of Champions, I think, after that. Did they actually touch? Was Seb a bit lucky not to get away with a penalty?
Well, I don't think they touched, but I mean, if Sebastian was given a penalty, I think you'd have to argue Alonso also earlier in the race should have had one for pushing Vettel over the curbs, because it was a similar kind of thing. But to be honest, it's racing, and you know, it's a corner, someone's got to give, you know, let go at some point and say, okay, I'm conceding that position. And to be honest, credit to Hülkenberg for actually spinning the car and not losing it into the wall, because I think he got some points in the end. So
he did indeed. We'll come on to that in a moment. Here's another one. Should Ferrari have switched Vettel and Kimi round? Because Vettel's closer to Lewis, and there was a suggestion on it, should they have given their number one driver the higher place?
No.
Are you suggesting he's not the number one driver?
Maybe not on contract, but possibly. Well, I think Lewis Hamilton said he has a number one contract, but
maybe
it's two number one contracts.
Well, I think the BBC was sort of saying, oh, Kimi wouldn't mind, and which I've sort of thought, well, I think he probably would, actually.
No, I disagree, really. I mean, Ferrari know realistically from the start of probably testing, really, that they weren't going to be in a championship race, but they would be the best of the rest. Because they said if we can win four races this season, we'd be ecstatic, you know. So they're not quite in it. They know that. And I don't really see the point in that, to be honest. You know, I think they should just avoid controversy with realistically where they are in terms of pace and just let their drivers enjoy the season, really, of being the best of the rest.
And to be fair, if you look at these standings right now, Vettel's 43 behind Hamilton, and if they swapped him, he'd have only got an extra 2 points. So I mean, he's still a heck of a long way behind. It wasn't really worth it at this stage of the season anyway.
Well, when he loses the championship by 2 points, that's not going to happen. It's fine. Another interesting moment though with Kimi Raikkonen, he went for that spin where it seemed that he accidentally hit the KERS button for some reason and ended up doing a spin, which basically allowed Valtteri Bottas to finish ahead of him.
It was a very peculiar spin, but having had a similar spin in the past, it's one of those ones that just comes out of nowhere and you're just like, wow.
You know,
I'm not facing the right way anymore.
Sound like a man who knows, Josh. The thing I thought that came straight into my mind, Ferrari sitting there, oh, we could have Raikkonen next season who's busy hitting the wrong buttons and spinning, or we could have the man who's actually ahead of him up the track doing really well. And just with a lot of the rumours going around, you just wonder.
Well, it was Kimi's big chance, I thought, this weekend, with Vettel's problem qualifying. Okay, good solid podium. Maybe not after the race, we realised Ferrari wasn't on a par with Mercedes, but at least be reasonably close to them. Well clear of Williams, but it was poor. And as at the time now, when probably driver changes rumours will begin. He needs to improve. His qualifying was bad, but his race pace looked quite good, but it wasn't there this weekend. So
his race pace looked really good in practice, didn't it? I think that was a surprising thing. Does move us on to Williams. Bottas became Bottas became the first driver from outside Mercedes or Ferrari to finish on the podium this season. Woof. What about that one? Massa, as we said, had technical issues in qualifying. Much better from the race, though, wasn't there? And a suggestion, actually, that the next few races are going to suit Williams.
Yeah, Massa was actually on pole last year in Austria.
He was.
So, I mean, yeah, if they can keep that, you know, what they had last year, keep that going this year, at these circuits they did well at, then they could be in for a lot of, you know, big points haul in the next few races anyway. So,
how about Lotus as well, Steve? They had both cars finished in the points. Pastor Maldonado scored his first points of the year with his best result. Sound of there's almost a slow hand clap at the end. His best result since 2012. That's 3 years ago. I mean, that is a long time. Apparently so. Where he finished seventh, and I mean, bizarrely, Romain Grosjean scraped into the top 10. But he actually started fifth, didn't he, in the race? Mm. So, and given he ended up having crashes, bashes, and all sorts of time delays and what have you. Anyway, Lotus, I suppose, helped by the engine showing promise, or is this kind of as good as they're going to get?
I think they're showing promise. You think where they were last year, I mean, granted it was with the Renault engine, but I mean, it's a sizable step forward, isn't it? But, you know, it was nice to see Maldonado not actually crash or retire in some fault of his own, and to actually finish in reasonable points, you know, ahead of his teammate, who I've always sort of really regarded to be a better driver, to be honest. But even he has his problems on his on some of his worst days. But yeah, it was a reasonable result there for Lotus, and it's 7th and 10th, so.
Grosjean, I think, apologised, didn't he, for his little clash with Will Stevens? Yeah, good to hear Will on the radio as well, I thought, in his Essex accent.
I quite enjoyed Will's message. It was so calm.
I'll go, oh, Essex, what are you doing there, mate? What's he doing? Don't get in driving in the back of my car, innit?
I bet it's quite a good race, because after the Kimi spin, he was behind him going down the straight and looked like he sort of pulled out to see if he could overtake. I thought, go on, Will, you know, stick it down the inside there. But yeah, I thought, yeah, it was a good race for Will. Bit of TV coverage, so.
Exactly.
It's funny you say that, because if you remember Abu Dhabi last year when he drove for Caterham, that was Alonso, who just looked aside thinking, you.
Love Will Stevens. Farmer keeps doing that, and he'll probably get a better drive, to be honest. That's the way to do it, definitely. I want to say that Lotus was the good news, so we should probably now come to the bad news, which I guess would be McLaren. Wow. I mean, it keeps getting worse by each going week almost, although they obviously had a better weekend of it not so long ago. But third successive retirement for Fernando Alonso, who duly went on a proper tantrum calling his whole team amateurs, as everyone has decided it was. A real sad moment when Lewis Hamilton lapped Jenson Button on lap 22. I mean, that was pretty sad, the way that Lewis just took him, and that was sort of that. But Ron Dennis is confident that come Austria, you'll see a different team. Just like the one that Alonso was probably hoping for, come Spain.
Yeah, why Austria? Because obviously the Alonso one was because he's Spanish. And that happens in Spain. So I don't know what happens in Austria, possibly.
Well, I don't know if did they get their engine updates on the car for... If they didn't, then they may be coming in Austria. They must be some damn updates, I tell you.
They haven't spent any engine tokens yet.
They had some booked, didn't they? We had this debate last time.
They had some, I read, for reliability purposes.
Which, fair enough, it's very unreliable. So you're going I'm sure it's not a big argument they need to take in to the FIA and go, we've updated this because it's unreliable.
It's fair enough. It's slow, unreliable, and thirsty, apparently. So it's all the hallmarks of a great engine. Yeah. Go on,
Rich. I was going to say one thing. You say it's thirsty, and this is one nag I have at the minute. Where they say, okay, how can we finish the race using the least amount of fuel possible? And I just think, no, fill her up, maximum power, go. That's what I'd do.
Go. Well, we're going to come on to these things later, because there's a couple of bits, obviously, that came up over the weekend that we need to discuss as well. The last thing I wanted to mention, Force India, Nico Hülkenberg did have a decent race. He finished 8th in the points. It's only his second scoring finish of the season, which I think is more of a comment on the car than him, I would say, and he's off to do Le Mans this weekend.
He is. It's good to see him. I mean, he's had quite a quiet season, really. Perez has had a good Monaco, didn't he? So he probably needed a good result there, and he's got a very good chance of doing well at Le Mans, because I think the Porsche was quickest in qualifying, so he's got a chance of actually being on the podium. Because, as we said about Kimi earlier, the time of the season when it's coming up, driver changes are discussed, it's a good time to start getting some good results.
And on the subject of Force India, did you see about their new car they've been talking about as well?
No.
There's, I don't know if they said a B-spec car they're bringing in Britain. They're testing it in Austria after the race this weekend, and then it's going to be there for Britain. So I don't think that's ever been done, has it? A completely new car halfway through a season?
Caterham did a couple of times, but that's because they were rubbish, and I suppose they probably gave up on the old one.
McLaren tried in the mid-2000s, I believe, or they tried, they never actually ran it. I think they had a B car, they brought a revised car from the previous year to the first race, and they kept sort of saying they were going to bring the B spec during the year, but then they never brought it, I don't think, in the
big
end.
Thing though,
because I think it's pretty much the car this year is last year's car, I think, because they're having trouble over the winter, weren't they, and blaming Marussia and Caterham for the suppliers not supplying. Force India is always, it's always quite a good team, and they normally tail off during a season, but maybe they'll have a good second half of the season
when they start with their proper car for this season. One other thing I want to just touch on, actually, Max Verstappen's little spat with Felipe Massa. Anyone enjoy that in the press conference? I only really caught that this morning, but it looked good fun.
It was quite interesting, because it seemed Massa just wanted him to realise that he had made a mistake and own up to it, and you kind of think, okay, but then Verstappen kind of said, oh, people should see the race last year in your crash.
This was all at Monaco, of course, with Verstappen's accident and then Felipe's accident at Monaco the year before, talking about Canada? By that point they'd moved on to Canada. Ouch.
It's a bit like, it was, you know, oh, well, I got cut up, and it's like, calm down.
He's obviously confident, But you know, it's difficult when where respect kicks in and where it should just be confidence in yourself, because drivers aren't very good at judging it, I'm afraid, Josh.
It's a strange environment to be in. I mean, you kind of get brought up around this really high pressure environment that you're just in from seven for a lot of these drivers, and that's all you've known. And then you get put into Formula One, having been usually, if you're the type to get into Formula One, to been the top of your game in every series before it, and then you get thrown into Formula One. It's strange, I imagine.
So that's almost 10 years of experience Max has had. Bless him, from the first time he got into a kart. Love it. Okay, let's get through the of the weekends, shall we? Who wants to give me a driver of the Canadian weekend?
Maldonado, because he finished and got points and he didn't crash.
Well, I'm even seeing stories saying, is his reputation undeserved?
It's a strange situation. He's clearly got speed and pace, looking at his GP2 record and the fact he's won a Formula One race.
Yeah.
I mean, he
could, more than us.
But then you see many of the things that happen with him, and it's just, I wonder how much of it's misfortune that gets attributed to him. I mean, I remember Grosjean had a terrible run, and people were stitching together video clips of him crashing into everyone, and then you're just like, well, actually, if you look at that, someone turned into Grosjean, and you're now saying that it's his fault. It's it's interesting how that sort, those sorts of things, they gain momentum, impressions.
Fine. So, Pastor Maldonado, any other bids? Mine would personally be Felipe Massa.
Vettel.
Mm-hmm.
Hülkenberg, as we've sort of mentioned, yeah.
10th place man, Massa. Started in 15th.
Was he 10th?
If I'm reading the correct one from Carl's...
That's championship.
Oh, I was reading the wrong one. We'll go with him anyway.
It's easy to say any one of the podium people, but, you know, we'll go with him anyway.
Honorary mention for Alonso for breaking PR ranks.
Yeah, which is difficult enough at McLaren, I'm sure. Felipe Massa suffered an intermittent loss of power and overheating brakes, but it still did pretty well. I think he did all right. 16th from where he started. Don't think it was Sauber's race, really, was it? Yeah. So who are we going to give that to in the end? One of them.
A wide range of
people. A lot of people. Wow. Was it
the one from... You know, yeah,
and not one mention for Lewis, who actually won the race. Disgraceful behaviour. How about our goat of the weekend, the one who really messed up? I've got a few for this. Anyone?
Kimi? Yeah, opportunity wasted.
I'll take that. Anyone else?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Kimi.
Some ways you can say Grosjean for, because he was, you know, up on about fifth, I think, on for some even more points, and then a misjudgment knocked Stevens' wing, dropped back to about 12th, I think it was. But he obviously gained places to get a point, but could have been so much better.
McLaren, just in general.
Yeah, that's fine. I would like to add into there Ben Edwards, the BBC commentator, because he was constantly going on about Felipe Massa's redemption for making an overtake where he crashed last year, as if it had been playing on his mind every time he went past the corner. Eventually, when he overtook Marcus Ericsson for the fifth mention, it was like, he's actually done it. Redemption. And the other one I wanted to mention was the ridiculous celebrity interviews. We had Michael Douglas and his son being interviewed by Eddie Jordan on the BBC. It was the most remarkable piece of television I've ever seen, and something that shouldn't be repeated. I don't know what Michael Douglas has planned for his son. It'll be interesting. He's only sort of an awkward teenager, but bless.
My favourite line from his interview was like, oh, I'm not going to do American accent because I can't. But he goes in America, oh, we have IndyCar that just goes round and round. That's my American accent. Yeah. And he said it goes round and round. I just thought, isn't that the idea of a circuit?
and it went downhill from there, really, didn't it? But, you know, I'm sure he's a great Formula One fan. We love you, Michael Douglas, and your son, Damien. I don't think his name was Damien, but, you know, boy, that's his nickname. We'll go down in history. Damien Douglas.
I've just got Delboy saying,
Damien!
Anyway.
Part of the problem with the coverage, because sometimes they show these celebrities while the race or qualifying is going on, but they're not actually watching it. They seem to be just sitting around. Yeah.
And that Michael Douglas was in the hospitality tent having a chat.
But surely that's not good for Formula One. There's celebrities there. They're pitching, oh, look, all these celebrities that come to Formula One and just eat, you know.
I'm sure there's a TV screen in the corner which you can't see that they're watching.
Yeah. Well, there is. That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. It is in the background, though. team of the weekend.
Lotus.
Is that's two cars and the points.
That's fine. I'd say Lotus because yeah. The other alternative would be Mercedes. Any arguments?
I also thought. Now I said it right. Williams.
Is that your American accent again?
No, that's just me not being able to speak.
Williams is a good shout there. Yeah.
Williams.
Yeah, Mercedes or Williams. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
We'll give it to Williams, shall we? Let's give it to Williams. Highlights.
I've got two.
Excellent.
One was the beaver, groundhog, whatever it was thing.
Yes.
In the track.
Yes. Poor thing. Well, and it survived, I assume. I couldn't work out how it was going to get back over the wall.
There was a hole at the bottom and it ran underneath it.
Thank God.
But that was the highlight. I was thinking, it was like, oh, is it going to survive or is it going to get hit? And it was like, ooh. And then it made it. So you're like, woo. And then the second one was actually Massa and Ericsson. They had a good fight for, you know, about four or five laps, and that was some good close racing.
Ben Edwards appreciated that because that was his redemption, of course. Any other highlights?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know when it's a good race when people are talking about a beaver on a track.
they had I think it was David, some joke. I think it was David Coulthard had a joke with Lewis Hamilton about avoiding the beavers on the track. I don't know what the joke, I couldn't really work out what the punchline was, obviously, but hilarious.
Track, not walk, but on a little golf cart thing, aren't they? So
yeah.
That was the one. Any other highlights anyone else has?
Alonso's radio messages.
Yeah, I find
them. Yeah.
Also, Lewis one when they asked him to lift and coast a little bit. He came back and went, well, how much is a little bit? Which I thought was quite funny.
But then again, 50 metres. You imagine how short space that is when they're driving at that speed. It's just nuts. We'll come on to lift and coast in a bit as well, I am sure. Sweet, that'll do it. The couple I had, David Coulthard on his grid walk, teeing up the Canadian national anthem called O Canada, and then he said, "I imagine it didn't take them very long to come up with that name," which just made me laugh.
Well, one thing I noticed, I think it was in the pre-race coverage, and they were all going out of the pit lane to do the practice starts, and there was John Lacey and someone else, I can't quite remember who, they were just sort of perched on the wall just watching them do the practice starts. Quite enjoyed that, because I mean obviously John Lacey, you know, a bit veteran F1 driver, still sort of like, yep, I'm going to sit and watch the engines.
One for the purists, you see, those sort of things. And the other one I wanted to mention, I don't know if anyone else picked up on this, on the Montreal hairpin, the thing written on the tarmac, clip of the tarmac that said, Bernie says, think before you drive.
Oh, as goodness.
It was a Bernie Eccleston public announcement, which is very good. And I thought, well, that's strange. I wonder if anyone else has noticed. What does it say? Why does it say that? I wonder if anyone else had noticed. So I decided to check on Twitter what some things were saying. So some great tweets in response. Nick Houghton, Bernie says, think before you drive. Surely thinking while you drive is the wisest option.
That's exactly what I was thinking as well.
Nigel Rawlings, Bernie says, think before you drive. Rest of us say, Bernie, think. I'm going to beep that one. Liam Thomas, Bernie says, think before you drive. He also says, always settle out of court. Angel Pino Perez said, Bernie says, pay before you drive. Think before you drive. and I think there was one that said, maybe switched drive for a word involving br and with another B that rhymes with drive, which of course would be probably defamation. So I'm not going to say it.
It's a good job they didn't spell it wrong and put drink instead at the beginning. Otherwise, they'd have had all sorts of people.
Well, initially, I thought it said dive. I was like, I couldn't really figure it out.
Well, they're in like the seaway there, so maybe they meant into the river.
Which would have seen just Bernie run off the side, jump in.
That'd be nice.
Can't flag off Bernie. He's like our boss. He's everyone's boss. Can't slag him off. Okay, well, that was Canada. Let's move it on to Austria, shall we? All as part of the same podcast, because we're middle of the gap, I suppose, for want of a better way of putting it. So let's first deal with a couple of the bits of news that came up over the Canadian weekend. We had a little laugh about refueling coming back, possibly that's been ditched, obviously. Steve, you must be gutted.
Well, yeah, I am, actually, because I think that actually would have made things quite a lot better, you know, for racing and viewing and all that. Granted, it would cost more money, but like I said last week, I don't think we really care about that anymore. But yeah, disappointing, but there you go, you know, I think again, I suppose.
Didn't some people pull some stats that said that the amount of passes increased quite a bit once they banned refueling, like in the 2000s?
I read that.
I sort of...
Did they introduce DRS at the same time? That's the only thing I couldn't really... I couldn't pin the timeline.
Similar, would have been similar. Maybe a year after.
Yeah, but I read that and sort of thought... I would sort of beg to differ on that one, to be honest, you know. Because, I mean, you always had people on different strategies. There were people who were on lighter fuel loads who could then pass the heavier cars and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, DRS has obviously helped things a lot.
It's in a funny old place, Formula One, at the moment, isn't it? There's lots of meetings going on. They had the covert meeting between the great and the good, chaired by Ron Dennis. It's quite amusing that Ted Kravitz went straight for Niki Lauda to find out and get him to spill all the details. And Christian Horner was behind him saying, he's not going to say anything. quick, he's not going to say anything. He's not going to tell you. But, I mean, they were talking about 2017 mostly, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a slightly annoying thing, because first season we had to get an extra engine, which the leaked stuff came out, we're going to get an extra engine. And then after a little while, they probably got suspicious of each other and ditched that idea. Then the refueling thing comes out of this strategy group. We're like, okay, fair enough, look into it. And then straight away the team boss said, oh no, this is not a good idea. So who brought it up in the strategy meeting? And obviously that's just a waste of time because I haven't gone through with it. I don't know, it's just they seem to keep having these meetings but nothing seems to actually happen. Or
maybe
they need someone in charge, don't they?
Yeah, but I was going to say maybe in some ways they shouldn't actually ask the teams. They should have an independent body who aren't related to any of the teams to say, right, this is what we're doing, so teams don't have a choice. It's simply these are the rules, you're stuck with it, because then there's no debate who it favours.
Well, that was Max Mosley's job, and that's what the FIA should be doing,
that
isn't
is,
it?
That is what the FIA should be doing, but that's a problem all the way through motorsport. You see it all over the place where manufacturers and commercial interests have too much of a say in how the rules are shaped, and then obviously they sculpt it to their own desires, which is totally, that's exactly what you would do given that opportunity.
I mean, you need a leading figure, obviously, but I think if you were to ask most Formula One fans, you know, who is the you know, who's the head of the FIA, I'm not entirely sure if everyone could actually answer that question. And let's be honest, when do you actually see the guy? You know, you don't. I mean, what kind of leader was that?
I always felt Max Mosley seemed a more prominent figure in Formula One and in the FIA when he was around.
Activities outside of the sport.
Well, which we're not going to get into because he would probably shut us down. But at the same time, Max Mosley seems to come across as someone you'd love to get back involved in the sport the longer he's not in it.
Yeah, because stuff seemed to happen, didn't it? He pushed the budget idea, which did at least... He didn't get the plans he wanted, but at least created some budget ideas.
Yep.
And he worked quite closely with Burnley.
Sean Dyche loves Formula One.
But yeah, like I say, John Todd is nowhere to be seen, and it's just, especially like leaving it to teams, his strategy group, which, alright, you leave it to teams, but then you've only got six teams in it. So then,
yeah,
that doesn't make any sense. You're halfway between, yeah, one lot of people making a decision or a democratic side of it. And then you imagine the other teams seeing that meeting at the weekend between the, was it three or four teams? Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren. The other teams are going to be suspicious of, well, what are they up to, sort of thing. And then it just creates divisions in the paddock. So
Bernie probably just wants to ditch the little teams, doesn't he? One other little point. Is there too much talk of lift and coast? There's a suggestion as well the drivers aren't really being worked hard enough, all this sort of stuff.
Well, we're going into, how many races are we in now? We must be getting towards halfway point.
Austria is round 8.
So we're going to start getting to the point now where people are using up engines, and this sort of thing's going to get even more prominent. I mean, you've seen the penalty structure for replacing parts, it seems insane. What is it, 35 grid places per full engine that you change?
Wow.
Because it's 10 for your first component and it's 6 components, and each additional component gets another 5 grid place penalty for every component you change. It just seems crazy.
So it's only so far down the grid you can go.
Yeah, well,
where's 35 places taking?
At Silverstone, that's no problem because we've got 2 starting grids.
Yeah, so like
starting
that.
At the national circuit.
Yeah, yeah.
Big
fans car park.
Yeah.
He's only just got through the mud. Yeah, quite. Okay.
The last race circuit still. You've got to get on the transporter to the radio.
Oh, no, it's still one camera crew left over on Montreal while the rest are around Austria. Speaking of which, let's take it to Spielberg, shall we? That's what it's called, isn't it? Yeah, yes. Spielberg.
Red Bull Ring.
A1 Ring.
Call it what you want. Interesting that, as we mentioned earlier, Felipe Massa was on pole, wasn't he, last year? I think both Mercedes kind of mucked it up a bit in qualifying, didn't they, last year, if I remember rightly?
Hamilton had a spin. I think he ended up about ninth or something, wasn't it, off the top of my head?
Yeah, so...
And also, I've done it a couple of cars. I think it was the last corner. It's very high speed, and if you run wide and all four wheels go over the line that's for the curb, isn't it?
Yeah. Then they were deleting so many times, weren't
they?
Yeah.
I presume they're going to have the same issues this year, but it seemed to do quite well, the track, last year. I thought it seemed to produce some good racing.
It was a big success. Big crowd there, and everybody seemed to enjoy it. And, yeah, I think it was a decent race from what I remember last year. So,
will Red Bull be as bothered this year now that, you know, basically not bothered about anything to do with Formula 1 anymore?
I think Christian Horner on BBC in an interview said something along the lines of he thinks they're going to struggle, and I think he was asked the question, is one of your drivers going to have to take a penalty, a tall grid penalty, for changing an engine? And he said yes at some point, and they said, when will that be? And he said, probably Austria, no, and our luck. So
the thing is, they're already onto their fourth engine as it is. You know, and I think that's been like that for the last couple of races, if not more. So they're going to be realistically looking at taking a lot of penalties throughout the season. But yeah, I mean, I actually, as far as the race goes, I really enjoyed Austria last year. I thought it was probably one of the better ones, and it was nice to see like an old school circuit back on the grid. And it was actually quite, because I mean, Austria is actually quite a picturesque country anyway, and it was nice to sort of see, you know, not just something plonked in the middle of a desert, you know. You know, sort of looking pretty lifeless. So it was nice to sort of see something a bit different, and I quite liked it. Although it was a decent race, it was different qualifying to what we expected. I thought it was good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to next week.
The old school circuits always seem to produce as well, with like Spa and Monza and stuff. And the thing is, they're actually built to the landscape rather than having a landscape and then carving a track into it, which is, you know, it's just brilliant.
I saw an overlay of the original the original Osterreich ring, and then how the new circuit follows it. And it's quite faithful to it, really. I mean, they've made it smaller, but not that much smaller, and it still kept the character of the circuit, which I thought is quite interesting, because I think it is a Tilke modification.
Hmm.
I mean, obviously he gets a bad rap for a lot of the things he does, but I think some of the modifications he made, I mean, like Hockenheim and I think he did A1 ring. I think they're pretty good.
Awesome stuff. Most important weekend for? It's the question we always like to ask. Let's keep it brief. Who is this the most important weekend for?
McLaren, obvious reasons.
Yeah, take that.
Williams.
Yeah. Williams.
It seems to be one of their best shots
yeah.
of doing well this season.
It's got to be the Red Bull group. Yes. Taros as well. Got to have a decent race.
Do something.
Yes.
Anything. I like that. Predictions time then, gentlemen, please. I know you like this moment, so let's rattle through them. I said for Canada that Hamilton would be on pole and would win and would get the fastest lap, which I got 2 of 3. I said Sebastian Vettel would be P2, Raikkonen P3. Nah. I did kind of think that Ferrari would have a good weekend in general. I said Rosberg wouldn't be on the podium due to technical issues, which wasn't quite right. He did have technical issues, but he also didn't really. Did he really have technical issues? Seemed a bit woolly to me, but
I've been careful, probably.
Being careful, fair enough. I said Sauber would be both cars in the points. Sauber would get both cars in the points, so that didn't happen. And Verstappen with no points, which was correct. Kyle, you had a very good weekend of it. You said Hamilton pole and would win. Bottas would be in the top 5 in qualifying and in the race. Nicely done. You said Lotus would have 2 in the top 10. Well done as well. Q1 exit for 1 Force India and 1 Sauber. You probably would have got that had it not been for the fact that Massa and Vettel had an even worse qualifying of it. Rich, you said there would be 1 wet or intermediate tyre session. Well done. You pulled that one out of the bag, just about. You said there'd be 1 safety car, but there wasn't a safety car at all, was there, in the end, which was a bit of a surprise. You said there'd be 1 Ferrari between Mercedes. It got very convoluted, that one, but it didn't matter because they finished. The two Mercedes finished side by side. No Toro Rosso in the top 10. That's right, isn't it?
That wasn't there yet.
I've marked you down for that being wrong. So I apologise. I will boost you up a little bit. My bad. And you said both Force Indias would be in the top 10, which, alas, they weren't. Only the one. Sorry, I will correct that. So
I think that deserves a bonus point.
Well, don't push your luck. Steve, you said it would be a Mercedes front row. I don't know why I've said it like that. A Mercedes front row. Hamilton would be on pole. Rosberg would qualify second. That's good going. You said there'd be a safety car. You said someone would hit the wall of champions. Nico Hülkenberg was close. McLaren, two finishes, sadly. Alas, but you did say Lotus with two finishes and Toro Rosso with two finishes, so they were both correct. And Josh, you missed out. I think you did all right. Did you do it? I can't remember what you did. I actually don't think you did do that well last week, so we'll brush over that. But at the table as it stands, Kyle, you are comfortably in the lead. I'm second, although Steve, you've gone straight into third off the back of your sterling efforts. Then it's Josh in fourth. Richard, you're fifth, but you might be possibly ahead of Josh when I recalculate the scores. It's quite close. And Ped up at the rear at the moment, but I'm hoping he'll be coming in soon with some more predictions. Ped, get your predictions in. And likewise, any of you guys out there listening, if you want to send us any predictions before the FP1 of each race weekend, please do. We'll include you in it if you wish, although appreciated. We do make it look damn hard. You need to know what you're doing. Absolutely. Speaking of which, let's have your Austria predictions. Who wants to go first?
Do you want
to start first? Go on,
Steve.
As for the race result, Hamilton to win, Rosberg second, Vettel third, so that's the podium. I think we're probably going to have one of the Lotuses in the top 10, but I won't say which one.
Okay. Here he goes.
Yeah. And both Williams in the points. I think I'll have a better weekend this coming weekend. And as I'm going to go for trying to predict retirements.
Okay. Good.
You know what's going to come next, don't you?
Well,
Alonso Bun.
That's two.
And I'm actually going to go for one of the Red Bulls. Probably taking a chance on trying not to change an engine. So one of them, I'll take a pot luck. I'll go for Kvyat.
Oh, that's a good chance there. Good stuff, Steve. Rich, you're eager, Rich. You've got them on your phone. So.
Well, I wrote them down last time, and I actually got a couple right. So
you did more than I thought.
Exactly. So I've done the same again. And the first one is I think one Red Bull is going to receive a grid penalty for the race.
Okay.
Yeah. No more questions, or is that?
No. Yeah. So they won't start the race where they qualify because of a grid penalty from before somewhere.
Yes, some maybe a change of engine, maybe smashing into someone else. Who knows?
Who knows? That's part of the joy.
I'm going to say both Williams in the top six at the end of the race. And Massa will finish ahead of Bottas.
Ooh, like that.
I'm not sure if he's done that this season, but.
Well, I think he probably has. Yeah, probably has.
A bit injured, wasn't
it's not that good a prediction. Oh, yeah.
This one's even better. Maldonado to score points again.
Oof, woof.
And I'm going to say three retirements from the race.
Exactly, three retirements, three non-classified finishes from the race.
Yes.
Good man. Who's next?
Okay.
Go on, Josh.
Hamilton first, Rosberg second. I'm going to go with Bottas for third.
Okay.
Going to be, that's my roll of the dice. I reckon both will. Well, so Massa will also score points. I reckon one of the Lotuses to cause a ridiculous crash, because Austria has quite big braking points. So I feel like one of them's going to take someone out at some point.
Okay, all right. Well, let's just say a crash, because I don't know how you define ridiculous.
They're going to cause a crash.
A crash that we would probably discuss in the podcast.
Indeed. I like and the it. Other one will finish in the points.
Okay, good work. The other one that doesn't crash.
And probably both McLarens to retire.
With a probably in there, you notice that?
I'm going to go with they will retire.
Yeah, that's what I like. Retire. Get it out. Definitive. Cool, happy?
Yeah.
He's happy. Only leaves me and you, Kyle.
I'm going to go for the obvious Hamilton pole, Hamilton win.
I'm going to have to start banning these.
Bottas will be in the top four for the race and qualify, I should say. A Red Bull special-ish. A Carlos Sainz will be the top Red Bull Toro Rosso.
I like that one. Nice one, yeah.
And to heap the misery on McLaren, both of them will go out in Q1.
I was thinking about that one, yeah. Happy?
Yep.
Right, that just leaves me then, doesn't it? I always seem to take ages over mine as well. Okay. I think that there will be a Williams on the podium. I think that there won't be a Toro Rosso or a Red Bull in the points. I think there'll be a McLaren in the top 12. That's all right, isn't it? I don't think they'll get a point, but I think they'll finish better. You know, that's a ringing endorsement, really, for Ron Dennis. And I also think that Romain Grosjean will finish ahead of Pastor Maldonado, and I might leave it there because I don't really know what to predict with Ferrari. How about Kimi won't finish in the top six? There you go. No Kimi top six finish. And Lewis will win, obviously. Obviously. What's the point? Well, just give yourself a point each. Okay. Well, that's the predictions done then. One thing I haven't asked you, the betting, Kyle, the betting tips. How did they go in Canada?
Quite well.
Yeah?
We had a profit this weekend.
Good man.
We had a Lewis Hamilton pole and win, which I'll have to work out the actual profit. They're above evens. Unfortunately, we had Kimi Raikkonen to be on the podium. And then we had Maldonado to be in the points. A massive 6-4.
Oh, massive.
Massive fours.
A massive. Are you putting money on this as you go along?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, good work then.
So, yeah. Reduced the losses a little bit from the first two ones.
Reputation on the line now.
I'm going to have to start doing the same.
I need £5 bets, so.
It's not bad. It's not bad. And you'll be doing them again for Austria?
Yep. Yes, I will do, yeah.
Top man.
This weekend, yep.
Absolutely. If you want to see those before each race, then all you need to do is go onto our website, which is nrf1.uk, or we will link the predictions, the betting tips, on our Twitter feed, which is at the NRF1. And will we get any Rich, I hope your blog will go up this week. That will be my plan. I won't ask you to plug it again because you did that last time, but it's
still suspense, isn't it? It's adding suspense to it.
Only me and you know what it's about. Possibly Kyle too. No, he's shaking his head. I might write a blog this week. I'm pretty sure I said that last time, but you know, now I've done all manner of other bits, I might write something ahead of the race or afterwards. Kyle, you going to write something?
Yes,
maybe?
I'll...
No pressure.
I aim to, yeah.
Steve?
At some point.
Steve's going to write something at some point. Josh, fancy writing a blog at some point?
Yeah, at some point. I feel like maybe a mid-season review, that could, but maybe that's ambitious because that might be soon.
We've got a 3-week gap, haven't we, after Austria to Britain because there's no German Grand Prix. Does that make sense?
I thought that was after German Grand Prix. It was always after Silverstone.
Yeah, that's right, because there's 3 weeks, then Hungary, and then 4 weeks, isn't there? That makes sense.
That point already.
Well,
there's a season gone.
Yeah, the season has, you know, flown by. Flying by as we speak. So you've got the website plug. I think I've done that. I have plugged the Twitter feed. We've got an email address, but I can't really remember what it is, and I don't think anyone uses it. So, you know, I'll flag that up next time. Maybe we'll leave that one for later, you know. But some of these guys are on Twitter. I am at Michael J. Bailey. Josh?
At I am Rayman.
At Bax_kid.
Steve's still not on Twitter.
Nope.
He is on Facebook, though, if you give him a look.
Steve Rust.
Just Steve.
Steve Rust, yeah.
With a V.
Yes.
From Norwich. There'll probably be 20 million of those. Kyle?
At Cucumbers.
Lovely job. All right, then. Well, thanks, everyone, for your time. Much appreciated. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate it, of course, as always. And if you want to get in touch with us, please do on Twitter. It'd be great to hear from you, and especially those predictions, because you need to start making us look even worse than we're making ourselves.
Especially,
oh, no, Rich, not at all. If, you know, you're miles ahead on the kudos points. That's the thing to remember. Okay, we're done. Enjoy Austria and the carnage, and we will see you on the other side, hopefully quite soon. Do you want to say something, Rich?
No.
Oh, go on.
You just said carnage, and I thought there hasn't been much carnage this season, really.
I thought carnage, and then was really worried that something bad might happen, and then that sounds terrible. And obviously, I want everyone to be safe. Absolutely. Just, you know, flying.
Mild carnage.
Yeah. Mild carnage.
A few spins.
Just a bit of action. Just a couple of overtakes. Someone else winning. That would do us. Just some of that. Some of that. Obviously, no, nothing bad. And we'll be back after Austria to pass comment, as we so eloquently do from Norwich each race. You gotta love it. Until then, bye for now.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.